It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey y'all, it's Chris Van Cleef. I'm the creator of the Rose Chat Podcast. For me, growing roses has become a passion. My membership in the American Rose Society has helped me to create the rose garden of my dreams, right in my own backyard. I also enjoy the camaraderie and support of a network of rose growers who are eager to share, learn, and grow together. To learn more about membership in the American Rose Society, visit their website, rose.org.
Rose hybridizer for Week's Roses, Christian Bedard, joins us to chat about their new rose introductions for 2017. On this broadcast, you hear about All My Lovin', Cupid's Kisses, Children's Hope, Tropical Lightning, and Easy to Please, plus two varieties from the Downton Abbey collection, Edith's Darling and Violet's Pride. All this and so much more. Now, I had to miss the recording of this podcast, but let me add my 2 cents. I had the pleasure of testing some of these roses featured on today's show, and they were standouts in my garden, and that's saying something for the first year. Easy to Please was very pleasing. My goodness, she just bloomed and bloomed. And then there's Tropical Lightning. The first bloom of this beauty evoked a squill. It's stunning. This show is going to give you many roses to add to your garden, so let's listen in.
Christian, welcome to Rose Chat.
Oh, Chris, thanks for having me.
Well, we're so glad you could take a few minutes out of what I know is a very busy schedule at Week's Roses to talk to us about these new introductions. Now, I don't want to waste any time because I know everybody wants to hear about these new roses. Let's start with one, which is a hybrid tea that's just come out called All My Lovin'. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I would say All My Lovin' is a true hybrid tea, which only produce one flower per stem. I'm telling you, I don't think I ever see that variety clustering. It's always one large flower per stem, long cutting stem, which are great if you want to bring cut flowers and bring bouquet in the house. It was hybridized by Garrett Fryer in England, and obviously came to America in a quarantine section of our field and been hold there for 2 years, so we've been building up the quantity so we could release the variety. What I really like, again, it's just really great bud form. It's a dark, even pink. The plant is fairly tall. Here in California, we're talking easily 6 to 7 feet tall. Obviously, the rest of the country will be a little shorter, but it's a very vigorous bush with something we always look for is large, clean foliage, and the plant is really well covered with very nice foliage also.
I actually got a trial shrub of this rose last year, and we've been growing it in our garden here in central Alabama, and it has produced some very large flowers, 4 or 5 inches wide. You know, I've read that this pink color would stay true. It doesn't fade, and I found that to be true in my garden, so I'm really excited about seeing this one come to market.
Well, the non-fading color is something that in the modern breeding we've been able to achieve. I mean, not all the time, but, you know, back in the days, the yellow were fading white. Now we definitely have more color retention on the petals when they fade. Same thing with that really lovely pink hybrid tea. There's not much variation from the fresh to the finish. Those are some kind of characteristic that we're looking for when we hybridize roses.
Tell you, hybridization has come a long way just in the last 10 or 15 years, I think.
Yeah, I feel that probably mostly in the last 5, we have made the most progress. Still a lot of work to be done, but, you know, it's called job security. If you achieve all the goals right at the beginning, then you always try to find something new to improve, you know?
Right, right. Well, I can tell you, you really hit a new goal with this next rose that I wanted to talk to you about. It's a new climber called Cupid's Kisses.
It's actually a mini climber or patio climber, however you want to call it. This mini climber is, but the habit is more contained than the fully large climber. So the base of the flower is a white, and the reason why we call it Cupid's Kisses, it's like the flower got kissed with a pink lipstick, and you still have the white at the base, but yet it's surrounded by a pink color. So it's kind of a combo of a pink and white. The flowers are mini size. That's why we classify it as a mini climber. And instead of reaching 10 to 12 feet tall in California, this one will stay a little more like in the range of 6 to 8. So if you have a little smaller area of the garden or along the fence, a shorter fence, that is a great addition for that purpose.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so many homes today are built with a 6-foot fence surrounding the property in the back. And these, what I guess what you're calling patio-type climbers that will only reach 6 to 8 foot tall are going to be ideal for those types of fences.
Well, that's kind of one of the reasons they were hybridized, is exactly for, we know people have less garden space, and we try to get some more compact varieties that will fit into smaller spaces. Again, that Cupid Kisses is one that not only because it's a little more compact, but it just blooms all the time. And the buds are really pretty, and the flower open to a nice rounded, more open flower, but it produces a lot of those in nice clusters. And something we're looking for climbers is also we want the climber to produce flower in the summer and in the fall. And some of the older climber, the repeat was not very good, but with Cupid's Kisses and many of the new climber we hybridize at Weeks Roses, we pay as much attention as the fall rebloom as the spring. Make sure there's a lot of color for the gardener also in the fall. That's something we're really proud of, having improving the flowering for the climbers in the fall.
That's quite an advancement when you start talking about climbers, because I know most of our climbers, we get a really big show in the spring, and then it's just kind of sporadic after that.
Yeah, the fall bloom it's never as good as the spring, but the new varieties still doing a very nice fall show. So that's where we've been working on improving on the climbers, for sure.
Yeah, now this is actually a rose that you hybridized, right?
Yeah, I did Cupid's Kisses. Yeah, that was one of the seedlings from back to the T years. So all our seedlings have a number. So that one was T802-2. Started with the P year. So probably a few years after I started working at Weeks in 2000, I probably hybridized that one. So it's nice to keep track of the year they were hybridized. That way you know, it's like 5 years old, 10 years old, and sometimes they're even 12 years old, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes I think that sort of surprises folks to hear that when a new rose like Cupid's Kisses comes out, where it's actually available to the public, that it's actually been around for years.
On average, we have those seedling creation under testing for about 10 years. I would say 8 years plus 2 years to build up to production. That's why when I'm asked what is new, it's always difficult for me to answer that question, because we're talking right now about the 2017 intro, but those are extremely old for me, because I'm already working on the 2019, 2020, 2021, 22. So because it takes a while before you do all the testing and the selection, but that's the fun part of the hybridizing job, is you really see what the trends are, what's coming, you know.
Now, this next rose I want to talk about is a polyanthine. You know, we don't see a lot of new introductions of polyanthine roses, and this one is Children's Hope, which has a very special background to it as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Children's Hope was hybridized by Tom and Tom Carruth. I think it's, as far as a prototype of a little landscape shrub, this is something that is very, very nice, close to perfection. It's just great habit, always like rounded and compact, and something, You know, sometimes when you see a plant growing, you get some long stems shooting up above the plant, but this one does not do that. It's very well behaved, cover itself with flowers all the time. And the little pompon, red, dark pink flower, lots of petals, then they all come in big clusters. And I'm not talking two or three flowers per cluster. I'm talking many, many, many clusters. And spring, when comes springtime, you cannot even see the foliage. There's so many flowers on top of that plant that it just looks like red. And Children's Home has a very special promotion for us because it's also linked with the Children's Brain Tumor Foundation. And a portion of the royalty on each plant sold will be donated to the foundation. So not only it is a great little shrub, but also it helps benefit a great foundation also.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they do a tremendous work supporting treatment, quality of life for kids who have, you know, brain and spinal cord tumor and injury. So that's a very worthy cause. And I look forward to seeing this rose in bloom this spring. I want to talk a little bit about a very exciting new climber that is coming out. That's a little bit different coloration. It's called Tropical Lightning.
I'm telling you, Chris, I've been hybridizing roses for about 22 years now. I did, I think, 4 years for Agriculture Canada and then 16 years for Weeks Roses. I think Tropical Lightning is probably the most novel, crazy color I've seen in all the seedlings. I mean, at this point, I've seen probably over 2 million seedlings. And when I remember seeing that rose for the first time, and I think it's difficult to describe the color with words. It's like a smoke orange with cream stripe, but then the striping gets overlaid with the purple smoke on top of that, makes it look brown almost. Anyway, very, very, very different, very novel. Beyond the fact that it's very novel, it is a great climber. I mean, again, what I said about Cupid's Kisses and other of the Weeks climber that do great show in the spring, but also bloom very well in the summer and in the fall. But this one does exactly what we selected it for. It came from Pierre Aurore in France. So once in a while, we're lucky that we have a breeder from outside the country that sent us some budwood of some of their own seedling to evaluate. And when we saw that one, we were just like, wow, wow. And it grows really fast. So if you don't like your neighbor and you want to cover the fence between you and your neighbor, it would grow easily 10, 12 feet in 3 years. So definitely a vigorous grower. Even more to me interesting that the flower, I mean, the flowers are great, but the foliage is it's very large and probably one of the most glossy foliage I think I've seen in the rose world. And he has those really dark burgundy shoots and new foliage that just really, I would buy that plant just for the foliage. And I'm already telling you that the flowers are just amazing, but I will buy the plant just for the foliage. I'm so impressed by the foliage. It is a wow variety.
Well, you know, it's both a big and dramatic plant that is very clean and you know has such beautiful foliage, and then you get those big dramatic blooms. The photos I've seen, and you know, it's a very classic rose form as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Also, the flowers are really nice, very nice shaped bud, and they open to beautiful flower. And on top of that, they do have fragrance, a nice fruity apple-like fragrance. I'm telling you, this is just an amazing rose, just really, really beautiful.
Well, the next rose I wanted to talk to you about is one from the newest addition to the Easy to Love collection of roses, and it's called Easy to Please.
What we do with that collection is very, well, it's we select only the best floribunda-like that are way above disease resistance. So it's like a true rose collection with the highest disease resistance for a true roses. We're not going in the shrub, but they're definitely classic roses, floribunda style, but with way above disease resistance than most other floribunda. We already have a bunch of variety in that Easy to Love collection, and Now we're trying to add color that were not there. So when we saw Easy to Please with very good disease resistance, and it was a kind of a fuchsia pink with a lighter reverse, and we just thought, well, that would really fit well in that collection. Easy to Please is what I would call a vigorous, really upright floribunda. It's almost, in California, it's almost like a pillar, because it really grow tall. They really grow upright, about 5 feet tall. So most other areas in the country, it stay more compact, but still upright. But in the same thing in the springtime, in the fall. I mean, we're in almost December in California, and there's still flower on the bush on Easy to Please. Most of the varieties are cycling really fast, and they produce a lot of flower. That's one in this. We took some picture in the spring, and I'm telling you, they're just covered with flower, just purely covered with flower. And on top of that, you have a really nice kind of a clove with hints of cinnamon fragrance. And I say, you know, those roses that you say, yeah, they're fragrant, and you read the catalog description, they say they're fragrant, but in real, they're not really fragrant. But this one, I just worked recently with it, working on some description, and I had it on my desk, and whew, you could smell it after not too long after you're working next to the flower. You could smell the fragrance just coming to you. It's just really very, very nice, you know.
I think people look for fragrance more and more today. You know, there's a period of time in the rose industry where we wanted that perfect bloom, and now I think there's a trend back toward a more garden variety rose and something that has a little bit of fragrance to it.
Yeah, so Easy to Please is an excellent garden variety rose. Like I say, it's performed very well in multiple climates because it has really good disease resistance. Plus, it has really nice bud form and flower form. So it makes a nice combination, you know.
And this fuchsia pink with a sort of lighter reverse, that's gonna give a little bit of wow factor in the garden too.
It came from a variety Blue For You that came from England. It's Blue For You is the pollen parent, and when Easy to Please fade a bit, it goes in those bluey tone. It doesn't stay like a bright pink. It goes in those bluey tone, which is very, very nice.
it's going to be a beautiful rose, I can tell you. The last two roses I want to talk to you about are from the Downton Abbey collection of roses. And the first one is Edith's Darling, which, of course, is a tribute to Lady Edith Crawley, that character on the show, and her daughter, Marigold. Now, you know, Edith was the underdog of the show, I think. You know, everything always happened to her, but in the end, she ended up marrying the lord of the manor, so to speak, and ended up outranking them all. And I can tell you, I've been growing Edith's Darling, this rose, in my garden for the last year, and it's been a true winner. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
Edith's Darling, it's a seedling from Julia Child. So for people that know Julia Child, it does have like a little English style of the flower and very nice and rounded compact plant. So that's something that was passed on to Edith Darling as a seedling. I would say two of the major quality of that plant is very strong fresh cut apple and fruity fragrance. And the plants, like I just mentioned, they're really compact. Even though they're on the shorter side, they have those big English-style flower, apricot with a lighter kind of a gold reverse. They are, I mean, multi petal age. I did count them, believe it or not. They were between 50 to 65 petals on average per flower. So we're talking like a true full flower with a very good fragrance, and those are great for like Edith Darling, a plant that's like nice and rounded, like and compact. Those are great again for areas in the landscape that you want something on the compact, a little more compact side, or even to put on the patio in the pots. So they work very well for those purpose in the landscape.
That's wonderful. Now, the final rose I want to talk to you about tonight is, of course, Violet's Pride, and that is after the feisty Dowager Countess of Grantham. which was, of course, portrayed by Maggie Smith on Downton Abbey. And this is a beautiful, beautiful rose.
The rose was inspired, you're right, by the dresses that Lady Violet was wearing in the show. I'm telling you, Chris, I'm probably one of the most critical on all my creation because I'm a breeder. I try to always, like I say, try to always find something better. If I was done hybridizing today, Violet's Pride would probably be one of my top ranking variety that I did. I really like that variety for many reasons. It has what I would call a perfect rounded habit. A little similar to what I mentioned on Children's Hope, the plants stay very even. So when the plant grow and produce the flower, it will cover itself, but then it will grow again, but all the new stems will really come very even, and the plants stay perfectly rounded. Again, as a breeder, that's something you look for. Also, the foliage is dense. I like to say come in with your arms and go in and out of one of the bush I hybridize without coming out with scratches on your arms, I did not do my job right. I want those bush to be full, and I'm telling you, you could try coming in and out and put your hands in Violet's Pride. You will come out with scratches, I guarantee you that, because the bush is very full. So many reasons I like it. I just mentioned a few. But to me, there's some lavender variety, and there's some more that are fuchsia, there's some more magenta. But this one it's a lavender with a magenta heart. So you could see a very distinctive color between the outside petals and the petal more intermediate and inner petals. Crazy, beautiful fragrance of strong grapefruit and fruity. And again, I'm talking about real fragrance, very strong fragrance. What makes me probably, again, really proud of it is it's very good disease resistance also. And we try to make roses easy for as many people that want to enjoy them in the garden. And the more we come up with easy variety and disease resistance, then the goal is hopefully people will grow more roses, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think everywhere, you know, I go, and I know you go and speak at a lot of different places, you know, people want just what you said. They want beautiful foliage. They want awesome blooms. They want a lot of fragrance, and they don't want to have care other than, a haircut a couple times a year and some water and fertilizer. So, Yeah, so I think you really hit it. Well, Christian, thank you so much for taking just a few minutes out of your day to talk to us about these awesome new varieties that we'll begin to see online and in stores this spring from Weeks Roses.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Chris. I really appreciate it.
To learn more about these beautiful new varieties from Weeks Roses, visit their website, weeksroses.com. That's all the time we have for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.